Here we are in the last week of Defending the Faith. And before we get into today's message, let's open up in prayer. Father, I come to you right now and I ask that you would come in and fill this place up. Father, that hearts would be open and minds would be open to hear the message today and how important it is to consider what we let into our minds and our hearts. Father, I pray that I would get out of the way, allow you to speak. May everything that is said and done in this message today honor and glorify you. Father, we love you. We thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we've gone through defending the faith over these past several weeks, I truly hope that you have found this message series to be insightful, challenging, and it has allowed you and given you the tools to help to defend your faith all the more. We have discussed many challenging topics that have bound Christians from effective work for many, many years. We've looked at a few of them, and I hope that you have been encouraged and strengthened and have learned something to help defend that faith. Now, coming into today's message, I'm just going to tell you that you're probably going to be a little bit shocked at where we go in today's message. I put this question out on Facebook this past week, and what is the greatest threat to the church today? And I got many really good answers. And all of them are threats to the church today. All of the answers that I got back were threats. But it is not the biggest threat to the church in America today. We could look at, people straying away from the truth as being a threat. Maybe it's the lack of engagement by our youth that is a threat. Maybe it's technology that are keeping people at home instead of coming back into the local church. There are a host of other potential threats and problems that we face, but not one of them is the greatest threat that we have. You know, as I was researching this question a few months ago, I've had this message written for almost 2 months, and as I was doing some research on it and asking this question, where do you normally go to ask a question like this? Well, you ask Google, or you look on YouTube. What are people saying about this? And I found a video that I thought, oh man, this hits the nail on the head. It really does. And we're going to watch that video this morning.
But what do you think the greatest threat is to the church in our generation?
It's pastors.
Honestly.
The pastors. Anywhere, God has given three offices, I believe, to the church. Evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Wherever you see a weak church, you see these weak men. Either they're non-existent, they're unbiblical, or they're unconverted. And all this talk about the judgment on our country because of its immoralities and everything else, never forget, judgment always begins with the household of God. And I am astounded at the lack of the fear of the Lord and the lack of biblical knowledge among those who would call themselves the ministers of Christ. And I mean, the atrocities that have happened in America in evangelicalism, just in the pulpit itself, the tomfoolery, the lack of reverence. If you have a church that's not a praying church, it's because you have non-praying elders. The church is not biblical, it's because you have non-biblical elders. It always goes back to, so when I look at the nation, I'm not blaming some party or professors or this or that, looking at myself as a minister of Christ. And that's a very solemn, that's why someone shouldn't enter into the ministry. lightly. And, you know, we could say all kinds of other things, but it all does come back to that. We could say liberalism, which is true. We could say even a greater, more dangerous thing that's a secret, hidden liberalism is when men affirm that the Bible is inerrant, but their whole ministry is nothing but pragmatism. All you young men need to understand something. All this talk about Reformation in the last 15 years, the reformers didn't want to be reformers. They just want to be biblical, number one. Number two, you're not reformed simply because you've adopted an academic view of some sort of sovereign grace soteriology. You're following in the spirit of the reformers because you're trying to take every aspect of your thought, your doctrine, your disposition, your life, your family, your church, and submitting it to what is written. And so those are some of the things.
Didn't see that one coming, did you? The greatest threat to the church in America today are pastors. How could that possibly be? How could pastors be the greatest threat to the church today? These are supposed to be people who love God, who are of God, and who are being used by God. How could they say that pastors are the greatest threat to the church today? That can't be right. There's no way that that's correct. But I'm here to tell you that, did you notice that this was a conference for young pastors that are going into the ministry, and we looked upon that stage and there were several pastors that were sitting there, and when that question was asked, what is the greatest threat to the church? No one answered except the man in the middle. His name is Paul Washer. And when he said pastors, did you catch the look on the other people's faces that were sitting on stage with him? How could he say that? They were like, ooh. But it's true. Pastors are the greatest threat to the church today. And I will tell you that this is not just something that is new today. This was happening back in first century Galilee when the new church was just beginning. This is a problem that we have contended with for so long. It's not new. Paul begins to write a letter to his young protege, Timothy, a young preacher. Timothy was such a man that knew what harmful teachings could come that were being caused in the church in Ephesus. Timothy was in Ephesus, and Paul begins to write to him in 1 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 7. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may commend certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversy rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. In this first passage of Scripture that we're looking at this morning, Paul is telling Timothy, you need to remain in Ephesus. And you have got to teach these young men, you've got to teach these men who are teaching falsehoods, you have got to show them what sound doctrine looks like, what it is. You speak the truth, Timothy, and don't let anything move you from that. Don't let anything move you from that. We see so many churches today and pastors who teach things that are in total conflict with God's word. It's complete and total opposite of what the scripture tells us. It is masked in a hint of truth that covers up bad theology that they have. Sounds like somebody else, doesn't it? There's someone else who plays that game, who will take something that is scriptural, put a hint of truth in it, and then completely divert what God's word says. Our enemy Satan does that. He does that all the time. And he's teaching men and women who stand behind pulpits to do the exact same thing. And that's not good. There are so many teachers and preachers out there that are not preaching a biblical Jesus. Oh, they preach Jesus, but it's not a biblical Jesus. The biblical Jesus, they completely stay away from. Why? Because it is very unpopular. It is unpopular. Jesus is unpopular because, you know what? He calls sin, sin, and he doesn't let anybody get away with it. That's what he does. And people are in this, behind pulpits, who are not preaching a biblical Jesus. Jesus loves you. Yes, he does, but he expects an awful lot. He does. And we see these pastors and teachers doing that all the time. They're not preaching a biblical Jesus, or they're promoting unbiblical truth. And this is very dangerous. And Paul continues to write in his letter to Timothy. And at the end of his letter, at Timothy, or 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 10. If anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree with sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicion, and constant friction between men of corrupt minds who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means of financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierce themselves with many griefs. Paul begins to tell Timothy, look, there are these falsehoods, there are these false teachers that are going to be out there that are going to be teaching people false things about God. They're not going to be standing on biblical and sound doctrine. And why do they do that? Paul says, if you want to know why people do that, you can follow it right down to the very root and the heart of this problem. And I'm telling you what, we can look at it in our and see it in our world today. Preaching the truth of the scripture is so people, it's such a turnoff to people, right? It really is. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Sin is very offensive, and people today don't want to be offended. But guess what? Sin is offensive. And if you stand behind a pulpit and you preach that sin is offensive and that it is wrong and you need to turn from it, guess what? There are not a lot of people that are going to walk through the door. And if not a lot of people walk through the door, what do some of these preachers decide to do? I got to get the seats filled. What's the best way to fill a seat? I'm going to preach something that they want to hear. It may not be true, but they're here. Oh, man, don't you ever let me get there. Ever. That is not what this is all about. It's not filling the seats and lining the pockets of pastors. And any teacher, any preacher that begins to preach falsehoods and doctrines like that, they pierce themselves with many griefs. And it's all because of the love of money and power. That's it. And that's the beginning of their trouble. That's where it begins to start. And it is filled with pride. And that soon spills over into greed. And greed, it can lead you into a very slow and steady fade that'll consume you. It consumes them and begins to take their eyes off of what we're supposed to be here for, Jesus. It takes their eyes off of Christ and puts it on something that is ungodly. If they don't preach Christ crucified, the money doesn't keep rolling in, the seats don't continue to be filled, the views on TV they go down, so they speak something false. They speak something false. You know, whenever the reason that people want to misuse the name of Jesus and believe falsehoods about their faith and the people that they're trying to lead, they eventually find themselves inheriting destruction. That's what awaits them. And Paul was not the only apostle that talked about this. Peter also talked about it. 2 Peter verses 1 through 3, and I've used this a couple of times here recently. But there are also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories that they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Here Peter says, there are going to be false teachers among you. They're there. They're going to bring heretical ideas and philosophies in that are going to lead people away from the truth of Jesus, even denying Jesus Christ as Savior, the very one who died for them. Do we see that happening in our world today? Do we see and hear of pastors denying our Lord Jesus? You better believe we do. You better believe we do. And many people fall into that trap. Why do people fall into the trap that they set? What makes them so lureful? What brings people to these false teachers? You want to know what it brings people to? It's because they do not require any action from people that they are ministering to. They'll preach the word, but they don't ask you to do anything about yourself. They don't ask you to come and surrender all to Christ, to allow Him to come in and transform you. There's no mention of that or repentance of sin. They preach Jesus, but not a biblical Jesus, not Jesus Christ crucified. And so many people fall for the absurdity of these false teachers and preachers. But why? It's not just the lack of asking people to change and letting them know what is required of Christ. But in 1 John 4:1, this is what John says. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false prophets have gone out into this world, and there are false teachings that are all around us all the time. People are led astray because they refuse to do the work. They refuse to do the work. If you hear a pastor or teacher say something and the hair on the back of your neck starts to stand up, that's the Holy Spirit saying, pay attention because this is not right, or there's something going on here and you need to investigate it. And if that happens, do we take this and go, God, show me the truth. Lead me in this so that I can see what you are trying to teach me. We have got to test the spirits. We have to, because there are many that are trying to lead people straight to hell. That's exactly what it is. It's our responsibility. It's your responsibility to make sure that what I am teaching you is right. Did you get that? It's your responsibility to make sure that what I am saying from behind this pulpit is right and godly. And if it's not, come talk to me. I'm one of the easiest guys to talk to, at least I think. My wife would think otherwise.
She would know.
She would know. Yes, she would. You know, I heard a well-known pastor once say these words, and Paul even mentioned it up there when he was talking to those young pastors. Do not enter the ministry lightly. In fact, I heard a pastor once say, if there is anything else that you can do in this life to make a living at, do it. Don't go into ministry. But if there is something inside you that burns, that will not quit, that will not let you sleep, that will not let go, and God is saying, this is what I want you to do, that's when you humbly step behind this pulpit. It is not easy. It's not easy to stand here. But this is what God has called me to do. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to stand here. And the only reason why I do is because Jesus Christ has called me to do it. He's asked me to do it. And I humble myself every Sunday, and I stand here and I preach the Word of God because that's what He's asked me to do. And I pray that I do it with everything that's in me. Because if I don't, I am robbing you, I am robbing him, and I'm robbing myself of not speaking the truth in love and letting it all out there. We follow Jesus Christ and Him alone. And there are many who stand behind pulpits because it's the cool thing to do. It's a way that they're making a living by only working on Sunday. Let me tell you, a true pastor works 25 hours a day, 9 days a week. If there's anything else that they could do, they should do that. But if you cannot be let, if it's something that just calls out to you and will not let you go, then you step behind the pulpit. You know, many have taken on this role of pastor, and they haven't considered all that it entails, and they shipwreck not only their faith, if they have it at all, but they shipwreck others' faith. And so many people have fallen into that. You know, if there is one thing that I'm going to begin to close up with, the greatest threat to the church in America today are pastors. And I can't just stand here and tell you that you need to be following good pastors. Let me tell you bad pastors that are out there that you really need to avoid. pretty much every pastor that you see on any religious network, you need to avoid them. Just hands down. Joel Osteen, Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Myers, Benny Hinn, Jesse Duplantis, Cleflo Dollar, Stephen Fortuyn, the list goes on and on and on. You have got to be careful who you listen to and why you listen to them. Are they biblical? Now, we all are going to misspeak at some time or another. I've said that, and I'll misspeak at some time or another. But the question is, do they stay on those topics or do they repent of them? And if they don't, then you need to walk, you need to run away from them as quickly as you possibly can. Do you know the greatest teacher in all the world resides in every single Christian? The greatest teacher in all of the world lives and resides inside every single Christian. You will find no greater teacher than the Holy Spirit. He is the greatest teacher you will ever know. Why? Because that's why God sent him. I am sending you the Holy Spirit to teach you and to remind you of everything that Jesus taught. That's what his job is. That's what his purpose is. And if that lives inside each and every single Christian, you've got the greatest power and teacher the world has ever known. You know, I was thinking about my responsibility as a pastor. The responsibility of a good pastor. We love each other. We love people, right? I love each and every one of you. I do. And because I love you, God says, Scott, you preach the truth and you don't let anything move you from that. Preach the truth. What would happen if churches all over America had nothing more than a pastor holding a Bible on a Sunday morning and preaching out of this book? How many people would still come? I hope a lot, because there is much that God has to say in this. There is much for us to learn. And that's amazing. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I pray that we take this message and we sink it deep into our hearts today and our minds. May we question who and what we allow to impact our minds and our hearts. Father, if there are things that we need to cut out of our lives, I pray that you would just reveal it to us. Father, if there are things that we need to add to our lives, I pray that you would reveal that as well. Lord God, we give you thanks and praise as we go, and we hopefully are going to be able to defend the faith all the more. We do this in your precious Son's name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.